Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast. If this is your first time joining me, and welcome back to my loyal listeners. I hope that everybody had a great Thanksgiving holiday and they are preparing for Christmas and the new year. This has certainly been a challenging year for all of us, but I pray that you and your family are well and you are preparing for great things to come. I realize the holiday season is not happy for everyone, especially for those of us who have lost loved ones, whether it be recently or in the past. And so I will link my most recent episode where I talked about grief in the holiday season and the ways that you can cope. I'll be sure to link that in the show notes. And also for those of us who are struggling to cope with COVID, I will also link the previous episode that I did on finding treasure in COVID. Today, I am very excited to talk about this very interesting topic. Some of you know that I am a board certified couple and family psychologist, so relationships are one of my favorite topics. Not just romantic relationships, but all kinds of relationships, including the ones that we have with ourselves. And so today, we will be talking about both of those aspects. We'll be talking about relationships with romantic partners, as well as the relationship that we have with ourselves. So as you can tell, today we will be talking about how spicing up your sex life could burn you. Now, this will not be X-rated, but it will definitely not be appropriate for young audiences. So I encourage you to listen to this episode with your earbuds in or making sure that younger audiences are not present when you listen to this content. Now, I wanted to do this episode about spicing up your sex life because I think there is a ton of information out there on ways to spice up your sex life. And some of these examples are trying new sex positions, role playing, having an open relationship. Some people try going to the strip club together. They take ecstasy pills. You might use toys in the bedroom. You can engage in BDSM, voyeurism, trying oral or anal sex, watching pornography together, sexting, making a sex tape, having threesomes. Some people even give each other a pass on special occasions, or bring home someone for the other, or they engage in swinging. So as you see, that list is quite lengthy. I'm sure it's definitely not exhaustive, but the point is there's lots of ways, lots of articles and stores and videos and books and you name it on how to spice up your sex life. There's also a lot of information out there on the benefits of spicing up your sex life. And usually it boils down to improving your mental health. It's fun, it's flirty, it can keep the romance alive in a relationship so you don't have to cheat, that you can learn a lot from other people that you invite in your relationship. Or let's say we decide to go to the strip club. Some people say you can learn a lot from watching other women, that it can keep the fire burning in the relationship and that you don't have to end the relationship because neither of us have to lie or cheat on one another. Spicing up your sex life can also help one or both of you fulfill a fantasy and just overall keep the relationship interesting. Now, what people are not talking about is how spicing up your sex life could burn you. What do I mean by that? I mean that people are not talking about how they came to make those decisions? What things did they consider? Did they even consider anything before making the decision to spice up their sex life? Did they have any regrets? What do they wish they'd known or wish that they could have done differently before spicing up their sex life? So today we'll talk about that. I think this topic is important so that you can make an informed decision from not only an emotional perspective, but from a spiritual perspective. I know that this is a Christian podcast, and in Christian circles, typically sex is a taboo topic. It's usually boiled down to don't do it unless you're married. And when it is talked about, I definitely don't think that Christian circles are talking about how you can spice up your sex life, right? But even further than that, we're not talking about how spicing up your sex life could have some negative impacts on your life spiritually and emotionally. So I wanted to give you some things to think about if you and your partner are considering adding some spice to your sex life, or if you're already doing some things in your relationship and you're not sure if it's for you. Now, I want to warn you that this podcast will be full of questions. I do call myself the queen of questions sometimes because I can ask a ton of questions. But my purpose for asking a lot of questions is to get you to think deeply about what we're talking about. I want you to ask yourself these questions. I want you to ask your partner these questions. I want you to answer these questions together. I'm not here to tell you what to do, and I don't want you to walk away from this podcast episode feeling bad about yourself. I want you to walk away feeling informed and feeling equipped with some fresh ideas so you, and for those of you who are Christian, you and God, can come to the best decision for you. Let me lead by asking you to think about some questions. What would you do if you started spicing up things in your relationship and you encountered situations and feelings that you didn't anticipate? What if your partner has asked you to spice up your sex life? How would you know if you were even ready to go there? And what role does your faith play in making that decision? Before we jump into what I have to share with you today about the topic, I want you to pause this podcast, rate, review, and subscribe, and share this with not only a friend, I want you to share this with your partner, okay? Y'all don't have to be married, or y'all don't have to be in a formal relationship, but share it with someone who you think could benefit from hearing what you're hearing about this topic. All right, so let's jump in. If you or your partner want to spice up your sex life, here are four areas that I want you to consider. This first one is, what is the emotional, physical, and spiritual health of both partners? Many times, I think we get so caught up in what the other person wants and pleasing the other person that we don't even include ourselves very much in the equation until after it's too late. And so when I think about the physical aspect of things, I want you to first think about medical conditions. Do you have any medical conditions that would explain what you're experiencing sexually, or for some, what you're not experiencing sexually? Okay, sometimes people have physical conditions that make sex very painful, make sex difficult to complete. And so think about how that experience is for you and what that experience is like for your partner. And so does your medical condition prevent you, or should your medical condition prevent you from engaging in activities that are not good for your health. So for example, let's say I am diagnosed with fibromyalgia and I have episodes of chronic pain. Well, if my partner wants me to use certain toys or try anal sex, then that may not be something that is beneficial to me. Now, if I decide to go through with it, it might be pleasurable for my partner, but what impact would that have on me physically? What if my partner wants to engage in BDSM? For those of you who are not familiar with BDSM, it is an acronym for a community of people who believe in bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, or sadism and masochism. I really like the definition that authors David Ortman and Richard Sprott in their book Sexual Outsiders give for BDSM. They say it's a form of sexuality that incorporates restraint, pressure, sensation, training, and elements of both erotic and non-erotic power exchange between the engaged parties. Right? So this is kind of what we think of when we think of the movie or the book 50 Shades of Grey, right? So if we're going back to the medical condition consideration, let's say I have a very high pain tolerance and you have a very low pain tolerance. Well, if my partner is wanting to engage in BDSM, then I have to be mindful of the potential for physical harm that can be done based on whatever activity that we're doing if we're engaged in BDSM. Right. And so what if also maybe I have had some conditions as a woman, maybe I've had some fertility issues, or maybe I've had some surgeries that make sex more challenging than it would be for other people. Right. Would spicing up my sex life help somebody else? Potentially. But what will that do for me physically? And then, of course, you also have to think about sexually transmitted infections. Do I have any sexually transmitted infections that can be transmitted to other people? Do the people that we're engaging with have any STIs that would put my health at risk? So these are more of the physical aspects that I want you to consider. Now, for the emotional consideration, I want to ask you, have you done your emotional work? The reason why this is an important question for you to ask yourself is because what I typically see is people go into spicing up their sex life with the idea that it will be extremely fun, it will be extremely rewarding, and that is actually not the experience that they get in the long run. So they may experience those things immediately or short term. But what they find is that they are experiencing some things that they did not expect to experience. For example, if I have unprocessed trauma or past pain, those emotions typically come up when you are exploring something sexually and they have not been processed. So if I have guilt and shame and insecurities that I have not processed, going into a situation or agreeing to spice up my sex life with somebody else is not going to make those things go away. Typically, what happens is those things are magnified. But I think people don't make the connection between the two. They often wonder, like, I don't know why I feel this way, or why am I having these sudden moments of sadness, or why do I have these unexplained moments of jealousy, or I have no idea what's going on with me and my relationship is good? Well, usually when I talk to them and we dig a little bit deeper, it's because they have agreed to do something sexually that they were not emotionally ready to handle. Sometimes they've been deceived into thinking that, for example, oh, if I agree to allow my partner to share our bedroom, then that's going to show him that I am not insecure, right? And what I typically tell people is that just like having a baby will not improve your relationship, spicing up your sex life can be a temporary distraction to avoid dealing with other issues. It will just be a temporary distraction. It's not a permanent fix to problems in the relationship. And so I ask you, are you really emotionally ready for what this may entail? Do you think that this is the only way to keep your partner? And I want you to trust your gut on this, okay? Because what happens is we push ourselves beyond our emotional capacity and we stuff our emotions down and we talk ourselves into doing some things and we just push forward and go through it. But later we pay for it doubly because not only do we have to deal with whatever emotion comes up, but then we also have to deal with the regret that we experience for not listening to ourselves. For instance, if you're a person who is afraid to be alone, you would likely be willing to violate your values to avoid being alone. And so an example of this could be, no, I really, really, really don't ever want to take nude photos, do sexting, but for this one person, I'd be willing to do it. The relationship seems like it's going great, but then once it does not go well, then you're having to deal with the heartbreak and then also beating yourself up for going against your values. And so again, I really want to ask you, have you done your emotional work? Okay. And the same question can be asked for your partner. Has your partner done his or her emotional work? Because that is also going to impact what your sex life looks like. And the spiritual aspect is important because I think we like to compartmentalize our spirituality from other aspects of our lives, but the decision to spice up your sex life can have an effect on you spiritually because sex is not only physical or emotional, but it's also spiritual. Of course, there is the scripture that tells us to flee fornication and adultery, right? You also have to think about where you are spiritually and what are your spiritual values, okay? Do you think that doing whatever this activity is will make you feel spiritually uneasy? Will spicing up your sex life cause you to have a rift in your fellowship with God? Will it cause a rift in this other person's fellowship with God? And I think this comes up when we start to consider whether both partners are unequally yoked, right? So it's not to bash either of you, but it may explain one person's request for introducing certain sexual things into the relationship and how they may react to your responses. Now, I think it's beyond the scope of this podcast to get into what's considered a sin, what sexual things are not considered a sin. And so I don't want to go into that here. But if you have questions about whether some things are sinful to introduce into your relationship, whether it's pornography, whether it's sex toys, whether it's going to the strip club, whether it's wearing lingerie, whatever those things are, I encourage you to pray and seek wise counsel and do some research, but don't lean on your own understanding, okay? Because these are some very delicate situations, and I think when we start to lean on our own understanding, I think that we can get pulled into some directions that are not healthy for us physically, emotionally, or spiritually. So your emotional, physical, and spiritual health of both partners is the first area that I want you to consider. The second area that I want you to consider is the stage and state of the relationship. Now, why is this important? It's important because you want to understand the quality of your relationship overall. If you have a poor quality relationship, then adding something sexual is typically not going to strengthen the relationship. If one person has a different idea of what intimacy is and what it should look like, then that is not going to fix the issue. Okay, if sex is the only way that you both define intimacy, then sex is not going to fix the issue for both partners. Even if you have a strong relationship, depending on what you're trying to introduce into your sex lives, it could not be beneficial for your relationship in the long run. And for many couples, it can actually cause more problems or introduce problems. And so you have to really understand the quality and the state of the relationship. If the relationship is already unclear, let's say we're not even in a relationship, we're in whatever this thing is that we call a situationship. Do you really think that spicing up your sex life with this person is going to get you closer to what it is that you say you want? Typically, it only muddies the waters. And so if the relationship is not clear, then introducing something even more sexual into the relationship will likely have a stronger impact on you emotionally, potentially physically, and also spiritually. If you're noticing that you're giving more in the relationship, and in this case, you're giving more sexually, you're bending, you're expanding your boundaries, you're doing whatever you can to keep this person satisfied, then that's an issue. Because what I have found is that people make the assumption that if we do this or if I agree to do this, then this will show the person that I'm mature. It will show the person that I'm down for whatever. It will show them that I am loyal to them, that I love them, and I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to keep my woman satisfied, that I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to keep my man satisfied. But again, you have to look at what are you being asked to give if the person has not committed themselves to you? Is it worth the risk? If you're in a relationship where we both verbally say we're committed, but the actions for one of or both of us say otherwise, then is this something that is appropriate for a relationship at this stage? Okay, so we want to consider the state and stage of the relationship that we're in. The third thing is you have to ask yourself, what exactly is it that we want to do? How do we want to spice it up? Because this can help you make some decisions, right? So, you know, I went through that whole list at the top of the podcast about ways to spice up your sex life. You might say, okay, I'm willing to try new sex positions and I'm willing to try maybe having sex in some different locations, but I'm not open to doing a threesome. Or another example could be, you might feel uncomfortable with trying toys, but you might be okay watching porn, or you might be okay going to a strip club together. You might be okay with having sex in other places in the house, but maybe not in public. So you have to ask yourself and your partner, what is it exactly that you're wanting us to do? So that way you can make an informed decision on what you're okay with and what you're not okay with. Again, always checking back in with yourself, because typically when we have not done our emotional work, we are very quick to check in and see what the other person wants. And we don't consider what it is that we want or don't want. And the fourth thing that you want to do is to ask yourself, why do I want to spice up my sex life? And why does this person want me to spice up our sex life? Now, this question has several layers, and I'll go through some of the common layers that I uncover when I help couples or when I help individuals who are considering spicing up their sex lives. One is your motivation and or the other person's motivation. I'll give you an example. Let's say we have a woman who is not a virgin, but she's not as sexually experienced as her partner. And she says for the past few months, they've invited one of her friends into their bedroom. Now, the way that she talks about it could be where she says it's fun, it's great, it's something new, and it looks like her man is really satisfied with her. Now, after we start talking to her a little bit more, what if we uncover that her motivation is to agree to this thing in hopes of luring him into marriage? Now, do you see how that could set her up for heartbreak? Because on the surface, she's telling him, hey, yeah, I'm cool with it. And he's thinking, this is great. She's cool with it. But he has no idea that the reason she's doing that is to lure him into marriage. So I'm asking you to ask yourself, what is your motivation for agreeing to spicing up your sex life? What is the other person's motivation? You have to look at the other person's character as well, because some of this stuff that you could agree to may not give you the effect or outcome that you hope that it will give you. Sometimes people say, if I can just push through this, this is going to make me feel more confident and this is going to take away my insecurities. But that typically, I'm not saying it's never happened, but typically that does not happen. And if you think about it, if the request is coming from a place of lust and greed, you have to remember that lust is never satisfied. So take these questions even further and say, if I agree to this, is this the boundary? If I agree to this, what else will I be asked to do? And am I willing to do that? Okay, so uncovering your motivation and the other person's motivation is one layer of asking yourself why you want to spice it up. Another layer to this question is sometimes we have different views on sexuality and sexual adventure. I've seen this come up in examples where one person only defines intimacy as sex in the bedroom, missionary style, and I'll be extreme here for the sake of argument. We can only have sex on days that we don't go to church, right? Now, that could be an issue for someone who does not have those same restrictions or understandings of what intimacy is, okay? And so sometimes the request to spice up our sex lives can just be differences in understanding or differences in levels of sex education. Sometimes people might say, you know, our sex is just too vanilla. Like, it's extremely predictable. It feels transactional. It feels like we're not even really into it. And so sometimes the request to spice up sex life can be because of different understandings about sex. And so those are situations where it's important for the couple to sit down and talk about their framework or their understanding of sex and sexual adventure. And how do we define intimacy? How do we define pleasure? Because what is pleasurable for some people may be a turnoff for somebody else, right? What turns you on may make me feel like a whore after I do it. And so it's really important that you consider this layer when you're asking yourself and your partner, why do we want to spice up our sex lives? Another piece to that is having different sexual experiences. Now, some people say that they appreciate someone who is not sexually experienced because they enjoy the whole teaching aspect of it. I can teach you what I like. I can teach you different parts of your own body to explore. And it's just pleasurable for me if you're not as experienced. But on the other hand, you have people who say that they don't like that because if you're too sexually experienced, then what does that mean? It means that you've had a lot of experience. And so for them, it diminishes your value. And so you have to really think about, if you're wanting to spice up your sex life, is it because of different sexual experiences And this fourth layer that I want you to consider is maybe this person is just not that into you. I know that sounds harsh, but that can be a harsh reality. Maybe this person is just not into you. Maybe their sexual experience is causing them to compare you to other people. And that is not a sex issue. That is a heart issue. If this person still has soul ties, if they have not done any pruning or purifying, then it would be very difficult for you to satisfy them sexually if their heart and their spirit is somewhere else. Maybe this person, or maybe you, have an addiction, and the request to spice up the sex life is because they're trying to fit you into their addiction, or you're trying to fit them into your addiction. Maybe they've become so accustomed to certain types of sex that they view other people as objects and purposed for sexual gratification. And so think about if you agree to spice up your sex life, what this can do to you emotionally and spiritually. Are they trying to get you to look like and do like something they've seen with a previous partner or something they've seen in pornography? And so I really encourage you to think about these four areas that I've given you today, because sex is fun, sex is great, and it is something beautiful that God has gifted to us. But when we are misusing it, or when we are engaging in it mindlessly, we can have some long-standing cost to pay that we were not expecting to pay just because we were trying to have fun and we were trying to feel good. All right? Just some other quick but very important tips that I want you to consider are your children. Whatever it is that you're planning to do to spice up your sex life, I ask that you and your partner protect your children and consider whether there might be anything that you need to do to protect them from having access to or exposing them to before it is developmentally appropriate to do so. And the other tip I have is to consider your career or your lifestyle. Okay, will spicing up your sex life cause a negative impact on your career or public image? Now, depending on what it is that you are into, this may or may not apply. But let's say, for example, you have a particular career or you are an influencer, you have a public image, and you're being asked to send nude photos. Well, you have to think, what if this is recorded? What if this is photographed? What if this is reshared? Is this going to have a negative impact on my career and public image? Does your partner have the same understanding and respect for your career or your lifestyle as you do? Because if you're dealing with someone who is just about having fun and they don't have as much to lose as you, then that actually is a bigger issue than just we want to have fun and we want to feel good. Okay, so consider those four areas, and then also consider children and your career and lifestyle when you're trying to make a decision about spicing up your sex life, because I don't want you to get burned. Let us move now into our Dr. Q's Couch segment. For this part of the show, I want to answer two commonly asked questions I receive from people who have already agreed to spice up their sex life. This first scenario is if you have already agreed to spice up your sex life and you guys are already kind of engaged in whatever it is that you've agreed to do, but you're not sure if it's for you. You want to know, what do I do? Well, here are some things that you can think about. Ask yourself, what did I expect to get from this and compare that with what you're actually getting? For instance, if I thought that agreeing to going to strip clubs together would keep my man from cheating and it would cause us to be very, very close because we don't have to lie to one another, then I compare that with what I'm actually getting. What am I getting? Well, we don't really seem to be that close anymore, and the quality time that we spend together is typically involving sex, or now it's to the point where they don't really want to go to the strip club with me anymore. They're going and lying about it. Then am I really getting what I hope to get from it? It's also important for you to think about how your mood has changed since you started spicing up your sex life, right? Do you notice that you feel pretty good even afterwards? So you might feel good immediately, like in the moment, but do you feel good afterwards? Do you notice that you have like some lingering questions? Do you notice that your self-esteem is not where it used to be? Do you notice that you are more anxious, or that you have to be drunk, or you got to be lit to engage in it? Then that's something very important for you to pay attention to. You can also ask yourself if you have lost respect for yourself, or that your, or has your partner lost respect for you in any way? Because what I have noticed in these kinds of situations is when a person agrees to do something that they're already not very comfortable with, then what that does is give the other person the green light to continue to violate your boundaries, because you have communicated to them that you don't care very much about your own boundaries. And so if you bend on this one area, then don't be surprised when you're asked or forced to bend on other things. The last thing I'll say about this particular scenario is to be cautious about using peace as your guide, because typically we say, well, you make decisions by using peace as your guide. But what if your peace meter is broken? Then does that mean you should move forward? What if you don't have peace, but you don't recognize that it's showing up in a way that you were not expecting? So maybe your mood has been okay, but you're not noticing that you're having a hard time concentrating. You're not noticing that you're eating a lot more, or that you're having trouble sleeping. And so sometimes that lack of peace may not show up the way that you think that it should, or that it has in the past. So I really caution you against saying or looking for peace as your guide, because sometimes we move forward with things that we think we have peace about, but it's actually showing up, the lack of peace is actually showing up in different areas. Now, the second scenario is kind of similar, is where you have already agreed to spice up your sex life, but you're asking, what do I do if I'm already in it and I want to stop? This is a very good question, because you might worry about reneging on your agreement, and you're worrying about how your partner will perceive you for going back on your agreement. But I think that this goes back to the quality of your relationship. I would encourage you to share your experience and talk about what you've enjoyed about the experience, or maybe what you've learned about the experience. And then share with your partner what you realize needs to change for you. So I might say something like, you know what? I thought I would be okay with trying these different sexual positions, and I thought I would be okay with being tied up. And in the moment, I enjoy seeing you get pleasure from this. But what I'm learning and realizing is that I have some things that I need to work on. I've had an experience where I was in a relationship and I was only used for sex, and so it's triggering me in those moments. Or unfortunately, I was molested growing up, and I noticed that I'm enjoying pleasing you, but I'm crying for days afterwards. And so at this time, I think I would actually like to put a pause on this. right? So that's just an example of how you might communicate what you have experienced. And remember, to talk about what you've noticed and what changes you need to make. If you notice, when I gave that example, I didn't talk about the other person and what they need to start or stop doing. I was only speaking from my experience. So I hope those two commonly asked questions would be very helpful for those who are already engaged in some spicy sexual behavior, but they may not be sure if they want to continue, or they have decided that this is just not for me and they want to know how to stop. Okay, so let us move now into our prayer time. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to come together and talk about real life issues. Thank you that we can talk to you about anything. Thank you that you have the heart to hear us out, and you also are willing to give us wisdom if we ask. And so today I am asking for wisdom for every listener on the podcast. I pray that you would enlighten them in those areas that we've talked about today and help them to make decisions that are not only glorifying to you, but that are also physically, emotionally, and spiritually beneficial for themselves. And it is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Well, that is all that I have for you today. I pray that this episode has been enlightening for you. And if you need to listen to it again and again, I encourage you to do so. And if you need to take some notes, feel free, take some notes. If you have questions for me about anything that I've talked about today, please feel free to reach me on IG at Dr. Q Perry, or you can also send me an email by going to the show's website, www.amazingwithgrace.com, and clicking on the Dr. Q's Couch tab. That is all that I have for today. Until next time, take care.